If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the One Divine Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is stopping the world and getting off. And we do that by transcending the ego mind through soul awareness. So let's begin with a meditation. Take a deep breath. And allow your conscious awareness to go into the energy field that you call your body. Allow your awareness to experience the innate intelligence and the ensouling life that permeates every cell of your being. Experience this vast energy field that you have coalesced about your radiant, omnipresent consciousness, that you identify as your field of identification and being. Experience as you track your breath, which is a good way to bring yourself present, a good way to center. Experience in this vast embracement of intelligent, creative awareness that is the self, that there's a point of divine euphoria, extreme and exquisite well-being, wholeness, and health. Notice how when you're fully present in this field that you call the physical embodiment, that actually you don't feel the body. Pain comes when there is a constriction between that which is and that which is still seeking in the outer and trying to find wholeness and happiness out there. This projection of awareness into otherness comes back into the body as a loss of energy, as pain, as a sense, believe it or not, of emptiness. So possess the fullness of your being. Own all of your essence, its contradictions, its seeming imperfections in time and space, its divine paradoxes, its quirks, all of it, warts and all. And as your Creator did in the very beginning, pronounce it very, very good. It's all very, very good. So embrace of the goodness of the Godness that is your non-localized beingness. You see, here we're talking in the divine paradox. You appear to be here, and yet you've never been here in highest truth. You appear to be separated, and yet you're forever one. You appear as manyness, and yet you retain essential being as the one. Without a second, that is. So experience yourself for a moment as non-localized being. Just expand beyond where you've pinched down into an identity. Everything changes around you, but you change not. You are that eternal witness, untouched by time, space, dimensions, going and coming, up and down, all of those various definitives that mark a human place marker, i.e. body and time and space. None of these things apply to you as pure awareness. So now as we come into the transmission for this evening, let's see if we can ride this divine inner solar presence, the solar logos, the solar crystals that is the Atma, the divine spirit. Let's see if we can transcend in our awareness above that which projects the stream of consciousness that we call the world. Let's move into a higher state tonight. And as we do, we receive the benediction and assistance of all those who have gone before in this great embracement and realization, that we may join the radiant assembly of light. So, I think if you ask most people what they want out of life, just about everybody is going to say, I just want to be happy and have some peace of mind. I'm reminded here of the biblical scripture. Man is ever restless until he finds his rest in thee. And, you know, most New Age people, if you ask them what they want out of life, aside from happiness and peace of mind, which everybody wants, most would say they have an aspiration to ascend in this lifetime, to attain Christ consciousness, or to realize the divine self. Usually there's a variation of that major dominant theme. And yet we have to really look and be aware if we're living in ascending Christ consciousness today, right now, this moment. So, check. Are you in an ascended state of Christ consciousness in the realization of the divine self that you are right now? Look. If not, you've gotten caught up in the world. What is the world? The world, beloved, is simply a stream of conditioned thought. That's all it is. It's a stream. It's like a stream of consciousness that's been conditioned. And it's conditioned by the past. So when you're in that world stream, you don't see anything as it truly is. You see only the past. You see only the conditioned. So, in a sense, you're sound asleep. today everybody across the world is talking about the solar eclipse. And you know, everything you see in the sky is not there now. It's all past. It's dead. It's gone. We're in a time lag. All has been completed. We're remarking a dance that ended long ago and pretending like it's all new and real. Nothing that you see in the outer sky is really there. You see the projection of this dream of conditioned thought, this collective agreement in limitation. Let's pause and think about that a bit. We see only the past when we open our eyes. Is it possible to ascend above that? Yes, and tonight we're going to look at that very thing. So, just as your thoughts are what keep this world and its scenarios recycling, did you ever wonder where your thoughts come from? Well, thoughts arise from past experiences. As I said, they're previously conditioned consciousness streams. In other words, you've already been there and done that. So that's why you recognize it in the outer world and have a semblance of comfort with the known, or what you think of as the known. But these thoughts are like experiential filters which predispose one to adopt certain preferences and prejudices. And these thoughts constitute one's mental karma, which in turn spawn desires. Desires give rise to impulses, and impulses to action, which then create more karma or reaction. So, these are the twin whips of thought and desire that drive the human slaves to earthbound existence. Until one learns how to transcend both thoughts and desires of the conditioned ego mind. Until we do that, we will continue to suffer. So let's look at desire. Where do desires come from? Again, desires arise from conditioning, previously imprinted experiences that were pleasurable, something that was done at a previous time that produced a sense of pleasure or a sense of happiness, and then one keeps attempting to recreate that experience in order to feel that pleasure and experience that happiness again. I think we can all relate to that. So desires and thoughts stifle awareness. It's impossible to think clearly, as we all know, when we're in the heat of desire. And it's not possible to see clearly when the mind is fogged by thought forms. So man is forever seeking to recreate previous pleasurable experiences to retrace what gave him happiness at one time. But happiness itself is union with the divine. And the desire to seek goes against the knowingness that knows that God is. So you see, at every turn, when man goes outside of himself, seeking the past, projecting into the future, he actually is depriving himself of the very thing he seeks, which is happiness. And, you know, whatever the form that attachment takes, the goal is always to experience pleasure and happiness. Whether it's romance or that twin flame that we're seeking, or ascension, or, you know, put your own spin on it, we're all seeking one thing, and that is the happiness and the pleasure that doesn't dissipate, that doesn't disappoint, that doesn't frustrate, that doesn't hurt us, that doesn't break our heart. But it cannot be found outside. In fact, the whole world is like a, it's like a lesson in aversion therapy, because everywhere you turn, there's a prickly pear and something that hurts you and bites you and disappoints you and lets you down. Until again and again, you're forced to go back within and check and recheck. It's like, okay, where did I go wrong? And then the chances are you recreate the same thing again and again until at some point you just bottom out. And at that point when you're just right down with your nose flat on the floor, at some point something within you awakens to another way. And that's the classic story of the seeker and eventually the point of crises we all seem to come to that catapults us beyond the known into the unknown. And it's only in the unknown that we encounter the divine. It's again a divine paradox. You can only know God by letting go of the desire to know anything, of the sense that you do indeed know anything. And again, the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does that mean? It means the reverential awe that confronts you with the unknowable, the inscrutable, unfathomable, unknowable. We have to embrace of that. And that is the beginning of wisdom. So we're seeking unconditioned awareness, which is ananda. It's bliss. It's our essential wholeness. But how do we seek it? Well, usually pleasure tracks occupy us, which waste a lot of time if you don't have a good teacher that kicks your butt, because otherwise you'll just waste so much time. You know, you go from the worldly pleasures to the spiritual path pleasures, and you waste more time. So, a simple example of how we do this in our daily life, how we are trying to create an experience of happiness or satisfaction or fulfillment in the daily life, this is one we can all relate to. Why do we prefer certain restaurants? And when we go to them, we tend to order the same meal again and again. Well, it's because we remembered how pleasant the dining experience was and how delicious that particular meal tasted. I had an experience of that the other day. I went to my absolute favorite restaurant in the whole world, and it was hot, and we were dripping with sweat, and the food wasn't quite as wonderful as usual, and the experience wasn't quite as awesome as usual. And why was that? Well, because I went with an expectation of, well, it wasn't a real heavy expectation because I've learned better, but I had somewhat of an expectation that there would be a pleasurable experience in going to that particular restaurant. And I, of course, created pleasurable experience because that's just what I do. And so I had a wonderful time, but it had little to do with the restaurant and really nothing to do with the meal. So in this metaphor, how often have you returned to that same restaurant and ordered that same meal, only to be disappointed as, you know, nothing was recreated of the previous experience and the desired sought for pleasure the previous time just wasn't there? And the reason is this: something in you has shifted. And the restaurant is an experience within your own being, because of itself, it doesn't really exist. It's something, again, that has been created by our mass desire to have a world that's peopled with many things. And when you awaken in that dream called samsara, when you awaken within that dream, you begin for the first time to generate from within yourself your own pleasure, your own happiness, your own peace, and you import it wherever you go. And therefore, wherever you go, you are, and everything is well, and you're happy and joyful and in bliss, and it doesn't matter at all what's going on in that environment. You become a portable portable heaven, a portable paradise, if you will. So this is what we want to look at, how we can move into that portable paradise and take it wherever we go. And you'll find there is no pleasure in the past, and there's no pleasure in the future, because both the past and the future exist only in the realm of conditioned thought and memory. And these are part of the karma that keep us locked into the human lower consciousness. The memories are the karmic imprinting of previous conditions that we have already passed through. So your karma produces both your thoughts and your memories, and both of these thoughts and memories form your ego mind and produce your pain and sense of emptiness. The ego mind, because it's born of the false belief in separation from all good or God, is always a painful place and an empty place, because it's not designed to fill you. So these karmic impressions create disappointment and frustration when our desired expectations are not met. And then we find we're caught up in samsara or illusion. And it takes people a very long time to awaken from this state of samsara. And it seems like the pain itself of this nightmare is what finally, ultimately does awaken us. It gets so intense that, like when you're having a nightmare at night, you just wake up. So when you are operating out of hopes, wishes, desires, and expectations, you are operating out of the ego mind and the separated self. And you're setting yourself up for more disappointment and more frustration. So the desire to recreate pleasurable experiences leads to addictions of every kind. Yet because one is caught up in past thoughts and emotional desires of the past, one is just not present here and now. And when you're not present with yourself, you're not present with God. Because God and the self are one. So you hold, again, separate from the experience of Christ consciousness, which is unity, oneness with the Father. And you separate from the one that you love, because God is love. And you're not present with yourself, so you're not present with love. You're not present with yourself, so you're not present with Christ. You're not present with yourself, so you're not present with the Father. You're not present with yourself, so you're not present in your wholeness. You don't have shalom, which is the wholeness, the fullness of the healed and restored state. So that is the emptiness that one tries to fill with drugs and sex and alcohol and parties and new lovers and affairs and travels and razzle-dazzle and bling and glam. You know, we try to fill that emptiness with all sorts of stuff. But the only thing that will fill you up is you, is occupying fully your conscious awareness. When you're not present with your process, when you're not here present, feeling and experiencing your total essence physically and emotionally and mentally and imaginatively and spiritually, when some part of you is disowned, that part will come towards you as lack in some form. Lack in relationships, lack in money, lack in a sense of well-being, lack of health. All lack comes from you disowning part of your own beingness. Well, that is such a key. So, this dependency on substance, alcoholism, all of it, this, and whatever we do to enhance our endorphins and to get that adrenaline rush so that one can feel truly alive, all of that is a cry of desperation for the self, to know the self, to transcend the separated ego mind, and to return to your essential wholeness. It's not gone anywhere. It's never left you. Just above that ego mind, that fearful little scared thing, shines your eternal soul awareness as the divine observer. It's that part of you that's the witness, quietly centered in the peace and bliss of Christ consciousness. It's illumined. It's whole. It lacks nothing. It needs nothing. It seeks nothing. It is self-fulfilled and self-fulfilling. And it just lives to give. The Christ-conscious person is like the giving tree. It just knows how to extend love and light and support and gracious goodness and goodwill. Wherever it walks, it imports the kingdom of heaven. So allow the parade of events to flow by you and pass through you. But don't get caught up in them. It's just a stream of past events. Aren't you tired of seeing this movie over and over and over and over? As good as a movie is, when you've seen it 20 times, it's enough already. And in the case of this Earth life, some of you have seen this same movie for millions and millions and millions of years. Don't you think it's time to stop the world and get off and exit the movie theater? I think so. So happiness and peace are centered in that serenity of your wholeness. That's always present. It's just a deep breath away. I always start every show with a deep breath, and I always end every show with a deep breath. Why? Because every time you take a deep breath, you have to touch to God, who breathed life into you initially. That's God's breath. So with every breath, you merge with God. With every breath, you merge with essential wholeness and beingness. And you bring in the life and the light that illumines all that is throughout all of creation and beyond. You breathe in the prana of the farthest imperishable star worlds when you take a deep breath. And the same breath that was breathed by Jesus and Buddha and Krishna and Ramakrishna and Divine Mother and you name whoever is the same atomic particles that you're breathing in yourself. You're breathing in God. You're breathing in everything. So make that breath work for you. Allow the breath of Christ, and Buddha, Krishna, and Rama, all the Mahapurushas, forward and backward, in time and beyond time. Allow them to fill you and impart to you that one divine essence that we call soul or spirit or Atma. It's one, even though it's individualized within the quantum field as an energy signature that's unique in its love and its light. Still, we are one at that level. So if you start to lose awareness and you start to drift back into thought, just focus back into your body with your breath. And this will instantly recenter and ground you and give you again energy. Because if you forsake your body and spend too much time in the other levels, your body will protest with great pain and eventually will get your attention in one form or another. So balance and integration is what we're working for here, so that every part of you is embraced in this process. Nothing is to be left behind. Nothing is to be shunned or forsaken or seen as unworthy of your love and your full attention. And whatever you do, do it with your full awareness. We don't have good awareness today. We are allowing ourselves to be media distracted. How can you have a focus of consciousness if you're multitasking in 15 different directions and you're totally unaware of yourself? The one thing that you need to be aware of all the time, you lose awareness of. So you can begin practicing being aware where you are right now. Be aware of the place you're sitting and of the sounds in the rooms around you and the people that may be present or the pets or the smell in the air or the whatever's going on. Be aware of that even while you're aware of my voice. Take it all in. You know, you're allowed to be aware of everything at the same time. You don't have to, block out certain things. But when you do something, be present with your process. When you, for example, eat, really be present with your food. Take time, prepare it well, smell it, savor it, enjoy it as you eat it. Eat what you like to eat. Don't make hard and rigid rules about this being spiritual and that not being spiritual. Everything is made of God. There isn't anything that doesn't have God in it. And if you call forward the divinity within everything that you partake of, then what could you be eating but God? What could you be experiencing but God? So devote yourself to worshiping the God in everything that you do, everything you touch, everything you use. Treat it with respect, with the honor of your focus, and with careful and tender loving. Whatever you do, let it be a benediction of your heart and your love. Discipline yourself not to rush and hurry. When you rush and hurry, you step out of your center. But if you time manage and plan early and allow yourself to flow with your day, then your divine spirit will go before you, organizing events just perfectly so that you flow with your day in a balanced and centered and conscious way. You don't lose awareness and consciousness by, being rushed out of your center. Don't allow the world to dictate your timing. It's just a stream of thought. It's all past. Why allow it to rob you of a fully present moment? So these are awareness keys that you can begin to implement that will enable you to be Christ conscious now. What is Christ consciousness? It's awareness of the oneness of all life and loving all of it now. It's living above your thoughts in a state of just non-localized loving awareness. John Roger calls it being the living love. I love that phrase. So be the living love. Be the hue. Be that heavenly, universal hue, man. The God thinker, which is what hue, man means. But moreover, it's not the ego thinker, it's the divine manas, the divine knower. So we are the heavenly, universal one who knows the divine. That's what we are. So this is a delightful practice for us. Delightful practice. And it's one that is so easy for us to flow with. If we treat life as if every single moment absolutely contained majesty and miracles and wonderment. Because spiritual life operates entirely by faith. Entirely by faith. That's how you can tell a spirit-filled life from an ego-driven life. Now the ego is always like a little needy child pulling at your shirt tails. It never has enough. It's always got questions. I don't care how many you answer. It's always, yeah, but. Or, well, what about this? Or what about that? And none of it has anything to do about anything. If you stop to look at the ego's questions, they have absolutely no meaning about anything. They're just distractions against the truth of your essential wholeness. Your questions are defenses against the truth of being still and present in your wholeness. The ego is always trying to figure things out. It's never still. It's always trying to understand, and I use the word trying. It doesn't understand. It's incapable of understanding. It only knows how to distract you and annoy you and confuse you and to block the truth, because it knows that when the light of truth dawns in your holy mind, it will dissolve and vanish. You're not going to take your ego with you. Your ego is your false self. It's not to be loved. It's not to be transformed. You're not to do anything with it, but fill it with Christ consciousness, with unconditioned, pure light awareness. It's all you do. The higher consciousness, the higher mind, is called in Sanskrit the buddhi, or creative intelligence. It's the God mind. It's the lowest part that the Atma touches down into when it comes into contact with these lower vehicles of manifestation. And the enlightening process is simply infusing yourself with this higher mind. When it says in the Bible, let that mind be in you, that was in Christ Jesus, that's what they're talking about. In Eastern terminology, it would be called soul infusion, or the process of self-realization, when every part of your being is flooded with higher awareness and understanding. And when that occurs, you really don't have to fix anything. You don't have to change anything. It's like when you turn the light on in a room, all the shadows and boogeymen vanish. You know, they were just seen to be clothes hanging in the closet or shadows cast on the wall. So you don't take a broom and start beating the clothes and the shadows. You just turn on the light. And likewise, the shadows of your consciousness that have been cast upon the walls of samsara simply vanish when you turn on the light of your higher awareness. And you do that so simply. Just take a deep breath. You chant, you. And your consciousness rides up just like a hot air balloon above the lower mind. The next time you feel uncentered or disquieted for some reason or another, or out of your center, just sit quietly and chant the hue with deep breaths. And you will find that your mind becomes so still. And if you test yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being complete peace, I bet you'll just go right to a 10 if you give yourself a few moments of doing that. And you can also remind yourself, I am. I am. In Hebrew, it's Eheya, Asher, Eheya. I am that I am. And you just breathe. And you allow yourself to rise above the clouds of conditioned thoughts to the brilliant golden sun of your holy Christ conscious illumined mind. You don't have to seek it. It's there, waiting. You transcend in your soul consciousness into this radiant knowingness. And then you activate it by stepping forward and implementing your knowing. Because that part of you is the knower. It doesn't have to think. It doesn't have to figure out. It doesn't have to judge. It doesn't have to evaluate. It simply moves to the knowing. We all have knowing. because we all are made in the image and likeness of God, and God is an all-present, omnipresent, all-powerful, omnipotent, all-knowing, omniscient, non-localized, conscious awareness that is creative. And that's exactly what we are. No difference. Exactly the same. So these are the things that we occupy our beingness with. We occupy the fullness of ourself with what we do know, what we are aware of, what we do sense, what arises so naturally to our awareness. And it says in the Bible that we should not think beforehand what we're going to say, that the Spirit within us will give us just the right utterance. So the way that looks is that you don't think beforehand how to handle a situation. You allow the situation and the people and the circumstances to draw forth that knower, that divine and Holy Spirit of truth that will speak perfectly into that situation, far better than any planned treatise or any prescripted thing could have ever spoken into that situation and into that person's listening. Likewise, when you flow in your knowing, when you're operating from the higher consciousness, your day has a way of presenting a particular energy template, which you learn to attune to. You've noticed there are certain days when you really feel like communicating, and you might write that day, you might answer letters, you might do a lot of emailing, you might attend to your phone calls. And other days when the call is to be just still with the Spirit. Maybe you're called to read, maybe you're called to go visit a friend, whatever. You learn to be sensitive to the spirit and mood of the day. You attune to it. You attune your antenna just like you would attune a radio station, so all the static is gone. And when you operate from pure awareness, you don't have the static of the lower mind with all of its chit-chat and chatter. The higher consciousness is very still. It is that peace that passes understanding. It never thinks. In fact, once you're used to being in pure awareness, thinking will give you a headache. I absolutely cannot stand to be around thinkers. They give me brain burn. Nor can I stand to read writings that come out of the mental body. I just can't do it. And you can tell when a transmission is birthed from the spirit and when it's coming out of the ego mind's indoctrinations. There's a whole different energy with it. And likewise, you cannot speak with clarity things you haven't directly experienced and realized. So those of you who are teachers, all you need to do is teach from your awareness, from your direct awareness, your conscious awareness, and moving and flowing in that particular dimension. That's what you share. And then if you are quoting from a book or something, you can say, well, I'm quoting it from this. But you don't speak it as if it were your truth. Because if it's your truth, you will live it 24/7. You will never forsake it. Nor will it forsake you. And truth is its own support. It upholds you and supports you, and it's a shield and a buckler and a protector and a strengthener and a defender. So you never have to go very far when you stand in the truth. The truth is the one support that supports you in any dimension that you're in. If you stand in your truth, in the truth, and you speak from your direct experience, you will always be in safe territory. It's when we try to imitate or come under another's shadow or try to speak something that hasn't been given us by God to speak. Usually we do that for one of the ego's agendas. And the ego always has an agenda. And so when a person that's heavily vested in the ego mind comes toward you, you always sense a pressure. And that very pressure causes people to back away and back down and not to want to be with you because nobody wants the pressure of agenda. That's why we like to be around enlightened people. They're like big kids. They're loose and light and joyful and happy and fun. When you sit with Sai Baba or Amitji or one of the wonderful saints that we have today on the planet, you know, they're just full of smiles and joy and laughter and fun and love. There's no thought going on there. They're not evaluating. They're not critiquing and judging you. They're celebrating the fact that your presence is giving them ananda. Why? Because they see you as darshan. They see you as the presence of God. And so when you come towards them, they might want to kiss your feet. They might want to put flowers on your head. They might want to hug you. They might want to bow down and start to worship you because they get so confused. They think you're Krishna, or they think you're Christ, or whatever. And that's why divinely God-realized people, they act very strangely. They act just the opposite of the average human being that's always worried and in some form of angst or upset about something. So likewise, this fullness always is supported by the universe. You cannot possibly be self-realized and lack anything. Everything you need comes to you through grace. In fact, it lets you know when you're in your divine anointing because you're very, very supported in whatever it is that you need to do. The universe makes a way for someone who is walking in the light of truth and reality. So practice the presence of being here and now, loving the space you're in, loving the consciousness you're in, not trying to change yourself, not trying to judge yourself, not trying to make yourself anything. Just be. Be as natural as a flower in the sunlight, as natural as a puppy playing, as natural as a little kitten with a ball of yarn, as natural as Sai Baba sitting like a sun amidst his devotees, as natural as any God-realized being, full of sweetness and joy, seeing only God wherever they look, seeing only the one self wherever they look. Such a God-realized person has no concept of otherness. They only see oneness. Beloved, you are certainly not thinking about ascension when you're in that state. You're certainly not thinking about being Christ conscious when you're in that state. All this idealism that stands between us and the reality vanishes. It's like those shadows when you turn in the light. All of the little games we play, all the little spiritual wannabes, and let me try this workshop, let me do this technique, and oh, can you give me a mantra to clear my chakras, will this stargate opening allow me to ascend to the next dimension? You know, all this nonsense. And that's all that it is. It's just so much nonsense. All of that vanishes when you simply receive your wholeness. And you receive it by faith. And it's active. In other words, if you've asked for it, you accept it. You believe it. You receive it. You accept it. And you begin to act it out in your daily life. You begin awareness and practice moving in your empowered gifts. And yeah, some days you're more attuned than others. Sure, sometimes you flub up. that's, you know, that doesn't matter. You're not to think about that. It's not you doing anything anyway. All you're doing is making straight the way of the Lord, so that the Lord can be in his holy temple, which is your whole consciousness, and God can be in his heaven and all can be well. You are the heaven of God's presence. You are the heaven of the returned Christ. You are the Christ consciousness that's to return. You are the beloved. You are the living love. You are all of those things. So you begin to act from that and drop the storyline. Drop the pity-pot stories. Just end cycle. If you can't say something positive and affirming and truthful about yourself or another, then zip it. Don't say anything. Don't give voice to lies. Don't give voice to the ego. Don't prop up the ego's agenda. Knock the props out from under it so it falls flat on its little face into the light and dissolves into eternal grace. Allow all that was not divinely imparted into you to dissolve. Just dissolve into the light. Receive your healing. Receive your wholeness. Receive enlightenment and clarity and centeredness and peace and joy and love and creative expression and creative opportunity. Do you know, beloved, your gift will make a way for you? Your divinely anointed gift must make a way for you. You don't have to worry about writing a book. You don't have to worry about anything. If it's something you're meant to do, the God within you that's doing it will make a way for it. The God that's doing it through you will implement it, will send those support systems that you need to be in place for it to be presented. So you see, 99.99.9% of everything, in fact 100% of everything that you're concerned about is none of your business. 100% of everything that you're concerned about is none of your business. Do you hear me? 100% of everything that you allow to rob you of your happiness and peace right now is none of your business. Your business is to import Christ consciousness onto this planet. Your business is to anchor the kingdom of God through your human hands and feet and through everything that you do every day. Your business is to import the knowledge of who you are down into every level of your being so that it becomes the truth that you live day in and day out, where you forget everything but who you are and what your work is, what your true mission is. As a Jivan Mukta, you are to be a being that walks this earth with your head in heaven and your feet and hands in society, bridging those two worlds until you can't even tell because they blur into one. When they blur into one, emerge into one, we have that so-called fifth kingdom, or the kingdom of heaven on earth. Again, you got to drop all of the storyline about it, all the mythologies and all of the delaying, and be God's kingdom come now. The second, I am the kingdom of God come now. Take a deep breath. I feel it descending like a golden mantle. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Feel this golden anointing flowing down like liquid rain, like golden raindrops of amrita, divine nectar of immortality. Feel it dripping off your fingers, your nose, your hair tips, rolling down your arms, flowing out through your feet. Say, I am the Anointed One of God. I am the Anointed One of God. I am the Divinely Anointed One. And I have come Beloved, I have come. I am that I am. And, you know, you'll know that that's so for you because all of a sudden you're just present and you're just smiling. You don't have any reason to smile except you're just happy. You're happy inside, you're happy outside, you're happy going in, you're happy going out. You're happy no matter what happens in the outer world. You're happy if you live, you're happy if you die the next moment. You know where you're going. You know your love. You know you're going to love. You know love is eternal. Every single stress and strain and worry vanishes from your life when you move in to your divine, unconditioned awareness. So vacate the gerbil cage of thinking and figuring and questioning and ascertaining and all of the things that you've done, and simply be the living love and the expanded awareness of the Christ here and now. Let's go out chanting, Yehia Asher Ehea, which in Hebrew means, I am that I am. Deep breath. Yehia Asher. Yehia, Yehia, Asher.